Outpost.
Lying on the floor near his bed. He's been stabbed again.
You Did you tell the story of this so-called ghost to the police?
No. I was afraid they wouldn't believe me. But it sounds so fantastic. That's why I came here to ask you to help me, Mr. King. I owe it to the memory of the man I love to go to the bottom of all this.
Didn't you take us to all those Stacy's home? I want to see just what the circumstances were.
Oh, Mr. King, don't you believe my story?
Yes, Mr. King, I do. It's your interpretation of it that I question. But we'll soon find out a little more about your fiancé's murder and the revengeful ghost.
This is
our work, how to Miss Reed, just where were you standing when the front door opened and the woman in gray walked up?
Right about here.
Boss, look. The door walked in the back. Yes, ma'am. Very serious.
Still, I'm supposed to be inside that house right now. I'm frightened.
No one's called out to me. The door just opened it. Stand off. Did you read in our car, Miss Reed? Come with me, miss.
Well, I'm an expert on ghost spots. From what I hear, they don't have to open doors to get out of the house. They can walk right through them.
And they're glad if you're dealing with a ghost just yet, man.
No one here in the house.
You come into this room on the right, man. Well, this must be the murder room. There's a desk over there. What's this on top of the desk?
Looks like a pad of paper and a pencil, Mr. Wilson.
It's been scribbled on.
Sure, someone's drawn a lot of odd-looking little diagrams on it.
Now, keep this pad of paper for future reference. There's a door over there, Miss. Look to the moon.
What? See the man tied to that chair. See the gag in his mouth. Here. I'll take off that
gag. Get there. Thank you. The killer was in this house. He tied me to the chair after holding me up with a gun. He's afraid he's going to kill
me. I'll untie this man, mate, while you search this house.
The red coat.
His name is King. Now, you free me just a minute.
You are Mr. King, the famous investigator? I'm Alec Barnes. I didn't recognize the man who tied me to the chair.
What were you doing in Iowa State's home in the first place, Mr. Barnes?
He was my business associate. His murder came as a terrible shock. About an hour ago, someone called my home. She said if I wanted to find Iowa State's killer, I should come here.
A woman phone you?
Yes, it was a woman's voice, Mr. Peter. A very strange one.
Why did you come here alone, Mr. Barnes?
Alone?
How do you know? Well, if you thought you were going to meet Iowa State's murderer, why didn't you bring the police with you?
Well, Mr. Keene, I wasn't sure if it was a hoax or not. I didn't want to make a fool of myself by taking the police in a wild goose chase.
Well, that's the real reason.
Now, look, what reason would I have to... standing right behind you. The man who attacked me. He's holding a gun.
Don't move either of you. Who are you?
His name is Charles Harper. It'll do you any good, Charles Harper. I know who this man is, Mr. Keene. His sister, Teresa, was Iowa Stacy's wife. She died 2 years ago.
Yes. My sister died of neglect and cruel treatment.
Even while she was on her deathbed, I was sick. He was seeing other women. And Teresa swore he'd never marry again.
Well, he won't. You're right, Mr. Harper.
Where is he? I'm having you out with him right now.
If you're referring to Iowa Stacy, you'll find him murdered.
What?
Yes. He's been murdered.
I don't believe it. You're trying to hide him. Steal this from me. See this gun barrel against the head. Tell me where Iowa Stacy is hiding, or I'll piss you off.
He remove it. Whether he does or not, Mr. Barnes, I've given him all the information I can.
For a bullet, mister. Well, I've put a bullet for you.
What?
drop the gun. Drop it, do you hear? Here, I'll take that gun, Mr. You had a close call with this fella.
Well, you can just keep him down there. With a second or two, he may have carried out his threat.
Who is he, boss?
He's Charles Harper, the murdered man's brother-in-law.
So, Mr. Senior, it was just a bluff when I threatened that gun. I don't know if it's hard and you are. I don't know what came over me.
He behaved like a man who was testing for revenge, Mr. Harper. And it may be revenge that drove out of Stacy's killer to his trap.
Then I was real dead?
You mean this is the first you heard about it, Mr.?
He's saying the killer's had impression, Max. But I'm not too sure that I believe
you. Oh, would I have come back here to look for a dead man, Mr. King?
You may have returned to look for something and made a deal for this. What could have been the reason you tied up his business associate, Alex Barnes, here, so you could test the house?
No, Mr. King.
Yes, Mr. Barnes.
I was told you once told me he had a brother-in-law who hated him,
didn't he?
It was this man, Charles Harper. He thought Ivor was mistreating his sister Teresa.
He did mistreat her. He ruined her whole life.
Mr. King, it looks like this fellow might have carried out his sister's deathbed threat.
Stop the husband from marrying again.
Not what I was thinking, my friend.
It was a foolish thing for Teresa to say. It came well enough. She couldn't return from the dead.
But someone seems to believe that she did return, Mr. Harper.
What do you mean?
I mean, what? What is it, mate?
Woman in gray.
She's blown in that window. Don't turn around, boss. She thinks she hasn't seen her.
What does she look like, mate?
I can't tell.
She's wearing a gray veil over her face.
She was long on her way to the boss. It's just case in hand. She doesn't look like a ghost. She's gone, boss.
There wasn't a bit in your lips?
Yes.
The rookie is walking away from the house. You may go with the others, Grant. I may even follow that ghostly figure in gray and identify it once and for all.
A moment, we'll return to Mr. Keene and the case of murder and the revengeful ghost. Tomorrow and every Wednesday night, CBS Radio brings you thrilling adventure on the FBI in peace and war and the human side of police work on the 24th precinct. Be listening tomorrow night on most of these same stations when the FBI in peace and war exposes the specialty at London. And when Captain Canelli's hard-working police of the 21st Precinct tackle their latest and usual case at the Star's Address, where America listens most for Mystery 2. Now, back to Mr. Boone and the case of murder and the revengeful ghost. Mr. Keene, the famous investigator, and his partner, Mike Clanson, are investigating the strange murder of Ivor Stacy, a widower, who is about to marry for the second time. Stacy's first wife, Teresa, had sworn just before her own death that if she remarried, she would return from the grave for revenge. And his fiancée, Lorna Wade, now fears that the murder could have been the work of a revengeful ghost. But Mr. Keene has other more logical suspects in mind as he follows the eerie figure of a woman completely dressed in a ghostly gray color. And the end of the trail leads to the famous investigator to a small midtown apartment.
Yes?
Are you Mr. Keene here, Sharon?
Yes, I am. How do you know my name?
Right here, under your doorbell.
Oh.
My name is Chief. May I come in?
What do you want, Mr. King?
I'm investigating the murder of Ivor Stacy.
I'm afraid I don't know who he is.
I think you do, Fairchild. You see, I followed you here from this home. A short while ago, you were staying through this room.
You must have the wrong woman.
No. The only room the victim St. Clair identified me just before I started to follow. She said you were the so-called ghost she saw coming out of the house right after I was sick. You were dead to death.
Mr. King, what do you mean? She saw a ghost.
Lonely Road mistook you for the ghost of Ida C. C. J. West, who swore she'd come back for a day and stop him from ever marrying again.
I don't know anything about Ida's murder. Please leave me alone.
You seem to be reluctant to answer that telephone, Mr. Fairchild. Are you expecting a call you don't want me to overhear?
No,
You're in Ramsey, down the room. Hello? And up the room? I see. Hello, my name is King. Yes, the investigator. Miss Fairchild is involved in a murder case, sir. I see. Has she ever been violent? Well, let me get back to you later on, sir. And thank you for your information. It may have an important bearing on this case. Goodbye.
Mr. King, what did the doctor tell you?
Very indeed, Mr. Fairchild. You've been under his care ever since you left the private sanitarium for the mental ill.
They said I was cured, and I am. You've got to believe me, Mr. King. Please. Please.
Mr. Fairchild, a man has been murdered. And you have been moving the scene of the crime. Now, that is a mental thing. You'll be under strong suspicion.
All right. I'll tell you everything. I heard Stacy was my cousin. It was you who had me committed to the mental institution.
You didn't use him, did you, ma'am?
Well, maybe I did in the beginning. I'm cured now, and I have formed no grudge against him.
What were you doing in his home at the time he was murdered?
I went to thank him for having spent the money to have him cured. But he was dead when I got there. And I left the house quickly to avoid being implicated.
Let's go in the scene by Lena Reed, who mistook you for a ghost.
But, Mr. King, there is a ghost. I see her myself.
You have?
I have Stacy saw her too several times. And she terrified him. I swear it's the ghost of his dead wife, Teresa.
Did you see her face?
No. But I recognized a certain dress she was wearing. You don't believe me, do you?
You have a motive for murdering your face, Mr. Fairchild. Revenge. Let alone would make one a bit skeptical.
Mr. King, when you saw me looking in the window of Ivy's home, there was a man with you. He also had a motive for revenge.
Which man do you mean?
Ivy Bond, my cousin Ivy's business associate. Did I tell you that he was forced out of their business by Ivy?
No, he didn't.
Al Barnes and my cousin Ivor were both fighting for control of their corporation. Ivor won the fight and forced Al Barnes out entirely.
That's very interesting.
Al swore he'd get even. And perhaps he did by killing Ivor Stacy. Do you know why Al Barnes was wearing Ivor's house today?
He said he got a telephone call saying he'd found Ivor Stacy's killer on the scene of the crime.
I made that telephone call, Mr. King.
You made the call. Why, Miss Fairchild?
I was hoping to catch it. I thought Alex Barnes would get himself away in some manner.
Fairchild, do you know a man named Charles Harper?
Yes. His sister was Ivor Stacy's wife, who died after a long illness.
Charles Harper is also under suspicion. He hated Ivor Stacy because he said Mr. Stacy was seen other women while his wife was dying.
I don't think that's true, Mr.
Now, tell me this. Did your cousin, Ida Tracy, meet this young girl Lorna Wade? Asked Tracy's wife to this?
Yes. They speaking of the toast with Al Bond introduced them to each other. He can tell you anything you want to know about my cousin Ida's affairs. Unless he wants to deliberately hide something from you.
You do bitter about this Alec Bond. Why, Miss Fairchild?
There was something wrong with my mind.
Is that why you're so willing to accuse him of murder?
Why are you taking such a... And you're just to that moment because
you are! So, it can become violent, as the doctor said. Fairchild, I want you to stay here in your apartment until you hear from me. Don't leave. Unless you want to be arrested on a murder charge.
You can't do that to me. I'm not a prisoner. I'm sorry, Mrs.
Dean. I'll see what you say. The murder man's fiancée, Lorna Wade, believes that a revengeful ghost caused Ida Stacey's death. And you say you found that ghost. But I have another theory, which I hope to put to a test very soon. After I return to the murder house.
Sir,
how can I help you? Mike, I followed our ghost to her apartment. He turned out to be very much alive. Where are the others?
Inside. I could have been set the room to avoid trouble. And I locked Charles Harper, the brother-in-law, in to be sure.
What's this sheet of paper here on this table?
Is it an important on itself?
Maybe a clue to this murder. How long have you been on the two men in this room?
It was a half hour before I kept it inside.
And where was this?
Harper. Over there, and Alec Barnes is in this chair.
I see. Mike, I'm going out again for a short time. Let me have your skeleton key. And keep a sharp eye on our suspect. When I return, we may have all the evidence we need to convict the killer.
You're back already, Mr. Keith. What's in that carpet you got?
Yes, sir, you're the two men, Mike. Please throw the two men in here.
Thank you. Step inside, Mr. Barnes.
Mr. Keene wants to see you. Yes, Mr. Keene? Just a moment, Mr. Barnes. I want Charles Harper, the murdered man's brother-in-law, to hear this, too.
Come into this room, Mr. Harper. You locked me in. That's it. You're treating me like a criminal.
I'm afraid you are acting like a criminal, Charles Harper. For one thing, you were carrying a gun.
Mr. Keene, you admitted you hated Ida Stacey. He had a motive to kill his brother-in-law.
So did you, Mr. Barnes.
What?
You and Stacy were partners in a very successful business. But as I understand, he forced you out of the firm and ruined you financially.
Are you going to accuse me of murder because of a business transaction?
No, Mr. Barnes.
Because it isn't true.
I know it isn't true.
Well, thank you for that one.
I don't think things will fit me. You may regret it.
What do you mean?
Mike, you know what Jordan is.
Jordan, Mr. Keene?
Sure, boss.
There's a list of pictures and diagrams of some people drawing paper while away the time or when they're talking on the telephone.
Yes. Usually done in Hampton's manager. You remember that when we first came into this house, we found a small pad of paper on the desk where the murder took place.
Sure, Mr. Keene. It was scrawled with a lot of blue dots and crooked lines.
This paper I just discovered here on the table is covered with the same kind of scroll. Two diagrams and pictures on both the pad and this paper are alike.
Then the same fellow made the bulletin.
Exactly, Mike. The murderer apparently idled away his time while we were conflicting by drawing on the pad the paper. Just a few moments ago, that same murderer passed the time again in the same fashion. man who is sitting in that chair near the table.
Yes.
And that man is Alex Barnes.
What?
Barnes, you murdered your business partner. I will speak.
Do you think you can hold me on that kind of evidence, Mr. Keenan?
I have further evidence. In this circuit. Please open it, mate.
Two
dresses, yes. Dresses that belong to the man who deceased James Webb, to Mr. Stacey. I found them in Alex Barnes' apartment. He stole those dresses after Mrs. Stacey died, so he could impersonate her as a gift and threaten her husband. Alex Barnes was a revengeful ghost.
I think I'd better trust this fucker for you.
What?
He's
carrying a pistol at night.
Look, this natural pattern of the end is a nice pump house. Look at the size of the pump.
Looks like there's blood on the blade near the hose.
It's undoubtedly the murder weapon.
You'll have to prove that to you.
There's no use putting up a front bar. Because I want to know your real reason for murdering Ivor Stacey.
Or do you?
I found out that it was you who introduced Stacey to Mona Lee. The girl who knew her was going to marry, Laura.
Yes.
The girl who asked me to investigate her fiancé's murder.
Now look, I talked to Miss Gade again just before I came in. She's waiting just outside the door.
I'll ask you to come in, boss.
Come in, please, Mr. Laura.
Alex. Hey, Mr. Keene.
What did you tell me? What did you say about me?
Miss Gade. Please repeat what you told me on the way over to this house.
I told you several times in the past. Alex Barnes tried to force his attentions on me. He was infatuated with me.
Lorna, you're putting me in the electric chair.
Lorna Lee didn't commit you with the murder, Alex Barnes. Or she would have told me this before. Her mind was only on the fact that a ghost may have been responsible for Ivor Stacey's death.
All right. I'll admit it. I killed Stacey. He forced me out of the firm. But that wasn't the thing that nearly drove me crazy. It was losing you, Lorna.
Alec, I told you I could do nothing. I only love Ivor.
If it hadn't been for him... Mr. King, I thought I could make Lorna love me with Stacey out of the way. Anyway, when I thought I was losing out to him, I couldn't stand. I couldn't stand it.
So you waited in Ivor Stacey's house, waited for him to return, with a knife in your hand, after masquerading as his wife's ghost. The evidence you know about the search he had made, that she returned from the dead and killed him, never tried to remarry.
Yes, I know. At first I tried to frighten Stacey away from Laura by appearing as his wife's ghost. But that didn't work. I used another method.
Yes. Murder. Planned in a cool, remorseless fashion. But you gave yourself away when you scribbled idly on that pad of paper while waiting for your victims to arrive. Mate, tell Alex Barnes, our revengeful ghost, a little bit of proof for the murder of Ivor Stacey.
Mystery fans, the man who walks by night, the Whistler, will be heard coast to coast beginning this Thursday night on CBS Radio. Long a familiar figure in eerie mysteries heard by West Coast fans, the Whistler will be yours to listen to Thursday night on most of the same stations beginning this week. A shady private investigator is double-crossed by his attractive but just as shady girl fighting. Leading to a story the Whistler believes you will find packed with intriguing angst. Thursday night at the Star's Address. Stay tuned now for the Rosemary Clooney Show.